feeling like.
Okay, I would like to call this meeting to order, the meeting, the August 5th, 2024 meeting of the WPCA Commission. Let's begin with a pledge allegiance to the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. Roll call, please.
Commissioner Lathrop?
Present.
Commissioner Longton?
Here.
Commissioner Maselli?
Here.
And Commissioner Gladue is absent.
Okay, 3 out of 5, we have a quorum. Item D, are there any alterations to the agenda? Does anyone have any alterations to the agenda? Hearing none, moving on to item E, motion to approve the discussion minutes of June 13th, 2024 special meeting. Is there a motion?
I'll make the motion.
Second.
We have a motion, a second. Is there any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Thank you.
Sorry, Mr. Chairman, wasn't that a regular meeting, not discussion minutes? Didn't we have a regular meeting for June 13th, a special meeting to approve the...
I thought that was an emergency meeting, and then the regular meeting got canceled, wasn't it?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they should, that would be a special meeting minutes of June 13th that were not just discussion. I thought that was, we had a quorum.
Okay. So we'll just say approve the minutes of the special meeting.
No, it's that, sorry.
Okay. Entertain a motion to change the wording of the motion to say to approve the minutes of the June 13th special meeting. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? 3 out of 3, motion carries. Thank you. Item F, communications pertaining specifically to matters which concern the commission. Are there any communications? Mr. Administrator?
None, sir.
And Mr. Superintendent?
None at this time.
Commissioners? Thank you. Moving on to item G, remarks from the public regarding items on the agenda with a 3-minute limit. I'll call that out 3 times. Are there any remarks from the public? Are there any remarks from the public? Are there any remarks from the public? Hearing none, thank you. We will move on. Chair notes that Rich is here.
I was eating dinner.
Item H, report from operations. Derek.
Superintendent Albertson here. July was a very good month for us. There's three primary contaminants that we monitor for removal efficiencies, and one of them is biochemical oxygen demand, or known as BOD, and we had a 99% removal efficiency for the month. Another contaminant that we review and determine the efficiency is total suspended solids. Right now we've calculated 95% removal efficiency, so that's, both of those are fantastic. And then the third indicator of process control success is total nitrogen, and right now we're achieving over 80% removal efficiency, and that's would be considered very, very good. One thing that happened this, we calculated today, and I talked to the administrator about, was our solids handling was record-setting for July. We averaged over 6% total solids in our waste sludge thickening. That's the best percent solids that I've seen in 6 years. We dropped our average truck hauls to 2.37 trucks per day, which is a record low for me in the last 6 years. And then we overall, for July's, we dropped our sludge volume by 15%. So that was very, very exciting. And I've talked to the superintendent about this as well. Our We had, even though we had some problems with the fuel cell was run only about 75% of the month. Normally, we have almost 100% activation of the fuel cell. 75% of our energy came from the unit, where normally it's 90%. They had some structural issues associated with a cooling tower and some other problems. But even though we had to rely on the grid for some of our power, our overall energy demand for the month was down almost 20% as compared to last year. That helped us save some money, but it also minimized the potential of the ISO New England grid demand warnings that were out there. Because the month was so warm, July was the warmest July ever on record for Connecticut. A lot of people were using a lot of electricity for cooling, and so we routinely got these ISO New England demand warnings. But overall, very successful month. We hit all our parameters that are outlined in our permit. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. For the record, what is your thoughts on why we reached those records?
I think a couple things. I think it's a real compliment to the operators paying attention to the thickening on the gravity belt thickener, really watching it and making sure that we were dosing the waste solids with the appropriate dose of polymer. That's part of it. And when process goes well, the sludge becomes easier to dewater. As far as the contaminant removal efficiencies, a lot of it has to do with temperature. And we were definitely running warm. The bugs like a warm environment. And so our primary defense or soldiers in battle here against these contaminants are microbes. And they are very active in warm weather. So that's another reason.
Right. Did the digester contribute to it?
Oh, most definitely. The aerobic digester that you and I, Mr. Chairman, had spoken about has been online for 30 days. We've seen success in the first 30 days. It took about 10 days to get going, but right now we're feeding it, and it continues to roll. Having this average of 2.37 trucks per day is significant. We're not just talking hundreds of dollars, we're talking thousands of dollars and tens of thousands of dollars in, because waste hauling and disposal is a second cost, leading cost outside of energy. So this aerobic digestion has been a success financially.
Questions?
No, you hit my questions on it.
Yeah.
I was going to wonder myself how we achieved it. But.
But just based on, like, we had a really warm July, when we start going into the cooler months, it's just going to go to. Will that affect the amount of trucks as well, or just?
It could. We won't have as much activity, microbial activity, so it could slow things down. But it couldn't. I don't expect it to be catastrophic. I want to compliment Marcel Antonini. He's the chief operator. It was his leadership that led to this aerobic digestion. And the operators, Scott Farrington, Mark O'Brien, who's a new operator, Dennis Kexel, really paying attention to the gravity belt thickener to get really 6% is, you don't think it's much, but it's almost like Jell-O. It's pretty high, pretty thick.
Any other questions, comments? Yeah,
what about, you were talking before about using the methane off of the digester. Are you using that?
We were thinking of, we did that test where, in the engineering study, where we thought maybe we could use an anaerobic situation for digestion. And that would be where we have a dome over one of the archaic or residual tanks, and we were going to capture this methane gas, but it was very dirty, and we'd have to scrub it and then boost the BTUs, so it didn't make sense.
So this one actually was just open air?
Just open air, but the savings isn't by getting the methane, it's just the volume reduction in waste sludge.
Well, I'm just thinking that the propane and that, yeah, the methane could actually heat it during the colder months and keep your bugs happy.
Yeah, it's sometimes you can do that, but ours wouldn't be enough to really make the money. So what our goal is just reduce the volume, reduce the number of trucks.
Okay. Anything else? Thank you. Report from administration. Ron.
Yeah, so to expound a little bit on what the Superintendent Albertson said, as far as personnel, we lost Bob Fish to retirement. Big shoes to fill because we haven't had a couple meetings. So he retired at the beginning of June, and we hired Mark to come in as an operator. He's doing well. He's going through some training, and we're pleased with his progress, and we think he's definitely the right guy. So we still have an opening for a mechanic that we're going to be interviewing for shortly. HR has that out to the public right now. Nobody internally was qualified for it, so that'll be the next thing that comes along. We did have an issue with our computer networks at the plant due to, we think, a lightning strike that knocked out some servers and whatnot, and it really took a Herculean effort by everybody at the plant and outside sources, Bill O'Neill from the town, Matt from Mercury Computers, DEF, our closed caption TV security monitor people, Water and Kern for our SCADA system. Kind of was all hands on deck for like 4 or 5 straight days just to get everything back up and running. And we couldn't do any billing. We couldn't do any collections. It was really, really kind of chaotic. So we're going to be looking at, once we get through the financials for the next month and figure out where we ended up from last year, we're going to see what we can kind of carry forward with some funds to look at how we can readjust the IT systems in a more holistic manner. Our Stony Brook Rehabilitation Project on Route 32 at the corner of Massapequa, we have our encroachment permit. They were supposed to start mobilizing today. They're going to start on Wednesday, start that project up. So it's still on schedule to be completed by the end of September. Let's see. The paving was done to the Waterford lines, so we had inventoried and did all the new manhole covers and ordered that. We'll be contracting out with somebody, maybe Prime Electric, whoever who did the ones on 163, did a great job with those. Our D-Box project, distribution box project, is the bid opening is Wednesday as well. No, Thursday.
8th?
The 8th. So that's we should know who that is, that contractor is. 3 bidders attended the mandatory bid conference, so we should hopefully get a good number. At least we have 3 people on it. We ordered the new parts for a septage receiving station. They should be due the week of Thanksgiving in November. In your package, we provided you an analysis of where the septage rates are, and we think we should raise our rates. We're going to bring that up at another meeting just so you have some time to digest that data. But average is over $80, and we're at 60 right now. So we're thinking if we go to 75, we're still way in the ballpark of locally. And nobody's really wants to do septage receiving anymore. Norwich is going to be undergoing a major rehabilitation at their plant. They're not going to be able to take septage receiving. Killingly shut theirs down. Willimantic still takes some, MDC takes some, but that's a long drive for our local haulers. So we think that's really not going to affect their business much, and it will still provide us some income. At a 25% increase, which is $75 from $60, annually it would be an additional $76,000 to the authority, which we would, you know.
You get that many trucks?
Yeah.
Wow. What's that? You get that many trucks in?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's almost 10 a day. Today was a busy day. Mondays are usually busy.
Well, they get quite a bit to pump a tank, so.
Yeah,
oh, yeah, they're up to 400.
There's sometimes there's 4 trucks backed up waiting to get in there.
Yeah.
So.
It almost makes you think you want to buy one.
No. No.
I know what your retirement plans are now.
Yeah. Buy a truck.
I get the picture of somebody with one hand in there eating a sandwich.
There's a couple water things. We'll take that up underwater.
Okay. Any questions?
That was kind of it. That was the only question. Right.
Thank you. Report from the mayor.
Just real quick, I have just a comment about the union negotiations for the CBA. It's ongoing still, and I'm optimistic for a outcome that's acceptable to everybody. I just want to comment also that I'm proud listening to what's going on here. In the few months I've been involved in it, I'm proud to be a witness to the successful operation of the WPCA. And thanks to everybody here.
Yeah.
And our workers.
They have a union vote tomorrow. They have a union vote tomorrow.
They're not union down there?
They are. They have to ratify or...
Oh, the contract. Oh,
non-ratify okay. The contract, yeah.
I was going to say, I thought pretty much they were, yeah.
Questions for the mayor?
I think we're good. Is Rand Whitney happy with everything going on?
Yeah, everything that I'm hearing, yeah.
Okay.
Work on Maple Avenue is a necessity. We'll get it done. It's going to take a little time, that's all.
Yeah, Superintendent and I will report that under old business just to bring you up to date where we are there.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Report from engineers.
We have met with the engineers about an increase in water rates. Nothing has been formalized. Of course, the commission will be notified of any changes that are proposed. They're looking at putting in a lot of data into a model. We're looking to close out the fiscal year 2024 and give them additional financial information to bring them current with this model, and then we'll share that information.
Should that be under the water section?
That should be under the water section.
Thank you.
One thing I could add is the reverse 911, Everbridge. Everybody at the plant is now part of that. That's associated with the fire marshal. He brought that to everybody's attention, and everybody signed up for it. So if there's a problem in town, you'll be notified, all the employees.
That's operational now?
Yes.
Thank you. Questions regarding the engineers? Thank you. Old business.
I'll take that. So with regards to the Maple Avenue Rand Whitney line project, all the pipe is in the ground. We're going to do a bypass on the effluent line beginning on Wednesday and Thursday for them to make that connections to that line. So they'll be able to use the new lines for the effluent line, and then during their shutdown between August 19th and 25th, they'll tie in the other two lines, and everything should be operational at that point. After that, they will take out all the hydrants, those purple hydrants on Maple Avenue, and then we'll turn everything back over to Public Works to do whatever road maintenance they're gonna plan to do. So everything should be, by Labor Day, we should probably have all our end of things all buttoned up.
Fantastic news.
Wait.
Questions?
Actually, yeah. How much old pipe is still left?
There's a section between, kind of right out here. There's a little section that's still lined.
Yeah.
And there's a section from Depot Road that goes around the corner down Pink Row, and then there's a little section that comes into the plant. I think other than that, everything else is
new,
brand new.
Why didn't we change those?
It was just things were coming up on an emergency basis, and we just kind of did what we did. And when they lined that, those were kind of straight shots, so we didn't think that the lining in those spots was suspect. It was kind of when they turned the corners and things that the lining maybe got compromised in some respects.
Those are the only three sections that are actually we're responsible for.
Yeah, we're going to get the as-builts, Commissioner. So once we get the as-builts, we'll be able to show you exactly where everything is and where, you know, there's still some.
Yeah, I'd like to see this thing actually, this whole thing, be put to bed and we don't have to, anything's going to rear its head later on down the road. There's another.
We're so many millions into it that we
So possibly we could talk at a later time about making sure that those three sections are also.
There isn't much, knock on wood, kind of like pipe left that need to be replaced. But again, it's the excavation, it's the repairs, it's getting in the ground is the money, as you know. So.
Okay.
Yep.
Questions? Thank you. New business? I have none. Reports and referrals from planning and zoning. I have nothing to report that affects the WPCA. Moving on to Section 2, the Water Commission. Reports from operations. Derek.
So far, so good. No Department of Public Health notifications against us in any way. The water is fresh. We're meeting with the Groton Utilities. When is that?
Wednesday.
To talk about, they're going to change a valve. And what's that?
And the tribe.
And the tribe. They've indicated that they need to replace a valve and they wanted to work out the operational logistics of it. But we want all the players there, which would include Groton Utilities, Matua, and Town of Montville Water Supply. No indication that we've received any complaints about discolored water, loss of pressure. We haven't had any significant fires. And Ron can expound on this, is that our unaccounted for water calculations were very, very acceptable, low percentages. We're really, with Ron's help, that number is becoming very, very accurate. He's very involved in the billing, where the water's coming, where it's going, how much is being flushed, when and where. When a fire truck fills up a load, we account for that, and then we account for, obviously, all billed water. And we're getting very close to where we should be. And that's it.
Questions?
How are we doing on this water tower?
I'm sorry?
How are we doing on the water tower? I don't see anything going on
there. Let me just segue right into that. So,
which would be report from administrations.
I'll take that one. I'll catch this one, Derek. So there was an issue in Texas where they had some outages at the plant and some supply chain issues where they actually built the steel and fused the glass to the tanks and then kind of ship it up for to be kind of more remanufactured at the Chicago plant before it gets shipped here. So there was some significant delays. We really kind of raised a stink about it because our schedule was sliding too far to the right, and if we go too far, then we're going to have to go take a bond out to do some temporary loan financing to bridge that gap between the project closeout and based on our Department of Public Health their rules on how their financing works. So it's not a fault of Sahaki. It's not a fault of any of our contractors. It really is on them. We have documentation showing that it's not on Sahaki. Aquastor has passed it on to their contractor. We kind of got to the point where, we're not We don't care whose finger it's getting pointed at. We need to get this moving along. So we are still on schedule right now for third week in August delivery, late second week, early third week of delivery, where they're going to start manufacturing and then bring that up there. Schedule is still, we're still on schedule for a proper completion by the end of September for that tank as well, with the commissioning and everything else, and the generator delivery and install. We got the antenna mount situation squared away. Finally got the approval for all of that. The only thing we haven't got approval for yet is DPH being saying that we can run that into the project, but it really wasn't a big cost as far as we're looking at it on our end. Derek and I look at it. It really wasn't a significant cost. We're just going to have to look at some of the engineering costs from Wright Pierce and Woodard Kern with the SCADA system on how those antennas are going to hook up to the reporting system. As far as the easement goes with the CLMP, which, Commissioner, I know that you had some input on. So the ball got dropped where we thought Wright Pierce was dealing with Martinez Crouch and Associates to do the survey work, and they thought Eversource was paying for it, and Eversource thought we were paying for it. I ended up finally talking to the guy from the easement department, and it came down to nobody told him who was paying the bill. Said, for crying out loud, we'll pay the bill. We got to get these Mylars up so you guys get the easement. But there's no reason the town attorney told us there's no reason that they can't use the existing road easement to run that across there anyway. But Eversource wants their own easement that they own, period.
Well, your line is not in your easement.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't. Your easement is alongside.
It's in the road easement.
There is no road easement.
There is
that
road
line
easement.
Was supposed to go on the other side and go all along the property line, and they ran into trouble because the anchor for that tower is right up against the property line. If they had dug, they would have dug that anchor up. So they just ran it the other way. There was never an easement over there. If you look at the prints and you see the easement, it just runs along the side. Yeah. And that's why CLNP is giving you such a hard time, because you are not in your easement. You're trying to run it to somebody else's pole.
I'm going to rely on counsel on this one, Commissioner, and hopefully he's going to just – we're going to get the Mylars done, give them the submittals, and hopefully we'll just get this squared away. We're going to get power to the tank.
They gave the other guy a hard time, too. CLNP went up there, and they went over all his stuff up there, too, because their easements weren't up to par either.
Well, I think they're going to have bigger issues when they develop the apartments behind there adjacent to that. So I think they'll probably have bigger issues.
Well, if you do that and you develop those towers, your spillway runs right through their property. If you ever get any spillage out of that tank, you're going to run right into their property. And this has happened before quite a few times. And I asked him about it, and he told me that, well, how would you fix it? Told him, I know what I would do. You already have the line run up Cook Drive right to the end for the stormwater. I would have just continued that stormwater line all the way up to where the tank was, and I would have made your overflow run right into that and wouldn't have went down through their property. But these guys are going to just follow where the old line was and run it out through the other side. And if these guys develop that down there, water goes down there, town's on the hook.
Well, we'll have another meeting on that with the town land use director. Davis already has a meeting set up for that property as well. So anyway, we're still waiting the Mylars and the survey information from Martinez Crouch to present to Eversource to get that part squared away. And that should be the end of that. And I think that fixes the rest of the things that we have outstanding on our project there.
What did you have to do with the antennas? Did you have to increase the...
Nope. Nothing.
Nothing?
Nope. They fit on there like we thought all along.
Yeah? Now, how tall are these antennas above this tank? Are they... See, here's what I'm worried about is that if this thing's a glass line tank and you put an antenna on this thing, right, the base... That base flexes, right? You could snap that glass lining inside that tank and lose your...
It's on a slip swivel on the top of the dome. It's not part of the glass tank.
Well, that's why I was asking how it was put up there, because like I said...
I'm more than happy to send you the design stuff. But yeah, I mean, it's just there's a tripod that's bolted onto the dome on top of the tank, and they're just U-bolt mounted basically right on top of that.
Well, then, are they very heavy?
No.
They're probably not that bad then.
No, they're like 20 pounds. They're not.
Yeah.
It's more the wind load
than
anything else.
Yeah.
That they were looking at.
They're not even that tall.
No.
No. Not that tall. Well, I seen some of the other stuff on the other one. They look pretty high, and some of the stuff look pretty big.
Well, and that's mostly other people's junk too. That's not our stuff that we need. So.
Now, whose is the other people's junk on top of there? Is that other departments?
The town owns the tower.
Yes. I know the town owns it, but who's the town renting this spot still? Or is it? Or
it's town.
It town?
It's town telecommunications.
It's all town communication.
Yeah.
And they're going to move over to this new one.
It's a whole new system. They don't even use that. They're going to. It's all you. What is it? You can describe it better than I can. The ultra high frequency.
Yeah.
A repeater on Chapel Hill that just.
So.
Does it? I mean, the cellular technology today is way better than it was, you know, radio wave and everything else. Yeah. So,
that's what I was at. So basically, it sounds like that you guys are going to eventually move everything over to this new tower.
Even this stuff that we're putting on now will probably be obsolete in 10 years.
Oh yeah, well the way things are going, yeah, I'll go with you there. Well, that sounds good.
That stuff up there now is Wobian, right? Wobian.
That's Greek to me. I, you know, that's why I went to the meeting. We had a meeting with Communications Plus and Paul and all those guys and the state police. So that, yeah, there was microwaves up there. We had UHF, I think. Probably had VHF. We probably had all that tough guy stuff. I don't know. Probably could get, you know, Mars satellite feeds and get the Olympics from France.
Yeah.
Who knows what we could get on those things.
Well, that's why I was asking. I said, I seen all that stuff up there. I'm telling you, some of that stuff looks pretty heavy sitting up there.
Yeah, I mean, the longest feed that we have is that we got to communicate with Groton so that
that's where the water
comes to feed to refeed the tower.
Yeah.
That's our biggest one. Other than that, everything else is pretty much local. We can almost do it with low voltage wiring to what we have.
Anything else, Rich?
No, that's it.
Thank you. Okay, report from engineers, Derek.
I think the administrator answered most questions. Our biggest project is Cook Water Tower. We are involved in a rate study model to, you know, determine primarily how we would increase the rates for water in such a way that it didn't adversely affect the ratepayers, but yet it could support the debt associated with the water tower. We haven't had a rate increase since 2014. Our rates, you know, when you run them by the engineers first pass, they're like, yeah, these are a little low. Part of it, the nature of the beast, is we just don't have that many connections. But we're not a sinking ship. It's not like the water supply is in real trouble. We'll get, obviously, the end-of-year financial information to you. One thing to keep in mind, from 2022 to 2023, they call it the net position of the utility dropped by less than 1%. It was 0.67% less. That means that it's steady, that our rates are appropriate for our costs. Our revenues equal our costs, because that's generally the goal. Is in an enterprise fund or a proprietary fund like we have, we're supposed to make it, you know, we're supposed to run it like a business, try to make as much money as possible, but yet we're not really supposed to have a savings account. We're supposed to have some reserves, but they're very conservative when they say that. They want 90 days of O&M, which is ridiculous. That would be a tiny amount of money for a utility. So what we're trying to do is be able to, on the water side, increase the rates in such a way that the ratepayer would understand what we're trying to do, pay for, you know, the cost of running a utility under these high interest conditions, you know, inflation, the CPI being, you know, quite high, and we have to support a 20-year amortized debt for the water tower. And I think right now we have a good team, and I think we'll be able to do that.
Questions?
If you need to raise the rates specifically for the water tower, can you do it, like, say we're going to do it for a timed amount, like 6 months, or we need to raise the rate a certain percent by this much to pay for that, and then it'll revert? I feel like something like that, when you tell the people that, hey, we're raising the rates, this is what it's for, and this is how long, instead of we're just raising the rates and it's for perpetuity.
Well, so a couple things in play. First of all, our water rates have gone up. The price that we pay for water that we're selling to other people, that's gone up 6 times, and we have not raised it once.
Okay.
So there's that. Then there's a 20-year amortization of this loan debt that's going to have to be paid. I would never say it would probably ever go back down, but that's why you continually do rate studies. You look at what you're supposed to have, right? Mm-hmm. So you want to have break even on operating costs and put some aside for the future for the growth and replacement of pump stations, pipes, whatever else we need to do. Fortunately, again, we're a young system, so we don't have a lot of pipe that we'd have to replace in the ground unless something catastrophic happens. So it'll be probably a nominal portion of that. But, yeah, it's going to be a whole total thing. And so our consultant is looking at it, and she's got 28 years of experience in doing the modeling for these things. So we're going to be able to present you with some options. And it's a working model, so we can plug things in and plug things out and say, okay, this is what we think that the ratepayers can afford or not afford going forward. So it's a three-step process. So you guys are going to have to kind of see the data, make a recommendation and approval. There's a public hearing that has to happen where all the ratepayers get to come and say what they want to do. Then you guys have to pass a rate. Then the town council has to then affirm that rate and pass that.
Do we know what, like, the average ratepayer pays?
So what is there, 45 a quarter for water?
Yeah, $45 a quarter. Roughly 450 water ratepayers. About 15 of them are commercials, so the vast majority are $45 a quarter, which is, you know, quite low.
I'd probably burn that electricity just running my pump.
That's what I say.
Put
me on city water.
Yeah. But, you know, we want to be able to, obviously, when we have the public hearing forum, we want to be able to be well-versed and be able to explain, you know, just logically, you know, listen, it's almost irresponsible to carry a rate this low. We're not doing anybody any favors because we're not.
I don't think that's a good argument.
Yeah.
No, but a good argument is.
The fact is, when you go defunct, someone's got to take over and pay for the water.
Yeah.
Our rates have gone up 6 times that we have to pay for the water.
That's a better argument.
And we've never
like
passed that on to the customer.
Nobody's electricity bill went down, right?
No. Yeah.
That meter they put in, too, is awful accurate compared to the last one. So we're paying. Where before we were probably getting a little extra water that we weren't paying for. So
they have a brand new meter, Grand Utilities, yeah.
Yeah.
So we're going to show you all the data and how they come up with it, and also some comps, like, you know, what is everybody else kind of paying in the area as well. I mean, obviously we can't price ourselves out of the market, but the market is what it is. I mean,
yeah,
it's a captive market, unfortunately, but it's only 500 customers in town. However, the commercial rates, and we did talk to them, we can bifurcate the commercial rates and the residential rates, so we could go up higher on commercial than residential as well to kind of balance that burden a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to bring all that data to you guys.
And the casino's one of those, the
Casino, Rand Whitney, the Department of Corrections, those are like the top three.
Yeah.
And you have all the hotels, mm-hmm. a couple of car washes, laundromat. Those are your heavy hitters.
Do they have like a certain amount they can use? Is it metered for the residential customers?
Yes, everything is metered.
What happens if they go over a certain, do they have a certain they can use and it goes up or?
Yes.
Yep. The vast majority
never reaches.
It's like your first 6,000 gallons is free. And that it's not free, but it's included in the rate.
Right.
And then after that, you get paid for usage, excess usage. It averages to what we figure, 63 gallons a day per person for a residential household. That's national kind of average.
Well, I don't know if people will show up or not. They might. So if they do, it would be good to have all the information there. So that
we're not going to leave anybody hang out to dry because he and I are probably going to have to answer a lot of questions. So we're going to make sure that you guys have the data too because, you know. We're going to present it to you before we present it to the public, obviously. It'll be in a public forum.
Yeah.
Anybody can come, but we'll have all that data. That's why we're trying to make sure that we have the proper data set going into that rate study that they have now. And like I said, this woman, she's been doing it for 28 years, this modeling, so we have a pretty high degree of confidence in her, what we're going to see at the next meeting for the rough and dirty. Here's where we are.
I mean, do you think you'll actually get more than the national average, or you think you'll still be under?
Oh, no, I think we'd be. I don't know what the national average is. I mean.
Well, I'm just, what most people pay on the water companies. I mean, if we're underneath still, I mean, there's your good argument right there, that we're lower than everybody else.
That's a good question, though. We could find that out.
Yeah. I would say, though, that the national average could actually be a little misleading. I think a better thing would be regional average.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say we should look at companies within Connecticut, maybe Rhode Island, touch of Massachusetts, yeah. Things that, I mean, have the same temperatures, the same climate, the same obstacles for everything. They're
biggest
rock,
comparison,
ledge, everything.
Biggest comparison, Commissioner Lathrop, is going to be Squaw, because that's what everybody else has in town. They either have a private well or they have Squaw.
Which I will talk about under new business. Any other questions?
That we're good.
Okay, thank you. Moving on, any old business? We have none to new business. The only thing I have under new business is, as you all know, I'm the Montville representative to Squaw, and we meet quarterly, and I met on the 18th of July, and I'm getting my feet wet. A couple of things that I talked about was, number one, arranging for the people at Squaw to coordinate with the town in areas like Montville Manor, where they're going to be digging up roads to work on things, kind of work together with our public works so that we're not unnecessarily digging, asphalting, redigging, re-asphalting. I got the contact information. I passed that on to the mayor. So he'll be handling that from there. The other thing, in terms of getting my own feet wet, I asked for and received yesterday a set of maps showing the service areas, where they are, not just in town here, but all the other towns that are served, because that's an area service. And I'm going over that, familiarizing myself with that. At the present time, they're not talking about any water rate raises, but of course that's always something that could be on the table. And like I said, I'm being a new member of Squaw, I'm really just, and they only meet quarterly, I'm still getting my feet wet, getting to know the people. Any questions for me?
Well, none of that goes through us, so, right?
No, it doesn't. But it goes to water to residents of the town of Montville, and as such, it's a general subject to be brought up in this meeting. There, which reminds me, there used to be on the agenda under the Water Commission a place for Squaw, similar as there is for planning and zoning under sewer.
Okay.
Okay, so if we could include that in agendas going forward, and when it's between meetings, I'll just say that there was no meeting, or if something comes up, I have a place on the agenda to bring that to the commission.
If I may, Chairman, we've conducted over 10,000 linear feet of cameraing in the manor. That is an area served by Squaw. And during our camera inspections, we found two releases of their water supply, and we reported those.
More than two Squaw.
Okay. Two active leaks.
And you could see it coming into our sewer.
Okay.
So, and they responded very quickly. But, you know, we want to be a good neighbor, yeah. So.
In the past two months in Oakdale Heights, which is serviced by Squaw now, it used to be Oakdale Heights Association, there were two water main breaks. One for the lower set of wells, one for the upper set of wells. Both of them, they responded very quickly, and the people had their water back on within 6 hours.
Oh, wow.
Why were you cameraing your pipes up there?
Just as part of our inspection routine.
It's one of the farthest
sewers from the plant. So we're kind of starting out and moving in.
And how much more do you have to do up in the manor?
We're pretty much done in the manor. We're in the heights now.
Okay, so you only found two breaks up there.
We only found two water breaks.
But those were active.
Right, I'm sure. Yeah. You wonder how long they've been.
We didn't want to find them.
Our bills go up. Because now you got all that water coming into the plant. So that makes our bill go up for the sewage.
Yeah, it was, they weren't gushers, but you could tell it was fresh water.
Yeah.
Based on the, it was kind of neat. We drove right up to it. He could pivot and, you know, you could see it was fresh water.
Yeah, I tried to send you the video. One of the videos.
I thought the video you sent me was from some other area.
I don't remember which one I sent you.
I didn't know.
Is that the one?
So anyways, if there's an item in here for Squaw, that'd be a perfect place to report that kind of thing.
Okay, great. I'll make sure that's added. Line item under Water Commission, it'll be item F.
Okay.
And I appreciate you bringing up to them about tearing up the road and reworking things one utility after another, because there was a neighboring town that was famous for that. Mm-hmm. It was pretty much a guarantee that they're going to be changing one of the lines in the road as soon as they paved it. And Derek knows which town I'm talking about. Them paving a road was like, I mean, they pretty much followed it with a saw cutting. It was ridiculous for years, and it drove people nuts.
Oh,
so.
Yeah.
And I have to tell you, we have done the same thing. I have talked to them. I was the mayor a long time, as you all know. You try to coordinate with DOT, you try to coordinate with everybody, and stuff happens. Gets pushed off.
Yep. We all understand emergencies, but this town was infamous for new roads getting saw cut like immediately.
Just the zigzag from the end of Maple Avenue over to Depot. The state was coming through to do their thing, and they made us have to cut that back out and repair that while they were milling it and repaving it. I'm like, do you know how this is going to look if we cut that back out after you just paved it? Can you give us 2 days to do it since you're ordering us to do it? A nightmare just to coordinate that.
Yeah, they trip over themselves a fair amount.
But the optics, I get it. I mean, and they don't, people that, and, yeah. But okay. As soon as you pave over it, something breaks. That's a fact too. So.
Is that Murphy's Law?
Yep.
So back to the agenda. Are there any questions regarding Squaw?
No. Thank you for taking the position, Chuck.
Okay. Moving on to item 3.
They need another member, Commissioner. What? They could use another member.
We talk about
mayor can appoint somebody.
Yeah, Bill Pinias was the other member from Montville, and he resigned. So there is an opening.
Mr. Mayor, we can talk about that. Look at that little smile.
Okay. Under remarks, remarks from the public with a 3-minute limit. Are there any remarks from the public with a 3-minute limit? Third and final call. Any remarks from the public with a 3-minute limit? Hearing none, moving on to item B, Remarks from commission members. Rick.
Well, it sounds like you guys are doing pretty good. It sounds like everything at the plant, the new workers are all seem to be getting the proper training and seem to be doing real good down there. And it seems like the mayor is, well, I should say the ex-mayor is taking this pretty good. And it sounds like you guys are doing pretty good. Thank you.
Frank?
Just a quick circle back to Maple Avenue. You said there's three areas that still have the old pipe, but they're not really directly connected to the paper plant. So if there's a problem there, it's not going to be such an emergency as like it was.
No, they are connected to the paper plant.
Oh, they are?
Yeah, but they're lined. So the farther away you get from the plant, the better the kind of the pipe is, I would say, because you know, just
not so
the
caustic
quality of the effluent. So, yeah, these three sections, just want to point out that those are not brand new. You know,
maybe that's something we look at in like a 3-5 year plan or something like that to try to look at towards the future.
You know, at some point, someday, but they're going to pave this part, so we don't want to speak into the whole plan.
So were those?
No one knows when it will fail, but
Where those are, they're paving over now.
So the Department of Public Works and Mr. Mayor, you can correct me if I'm wrong, still plans to do from the 395 bridge to 32, okay. And that will cover a portion of the part that is not new.
Okay.
And then it goes around the corner by around Depot Road where the Oxbox Lofts is.
We're not thinking that we need to replace that now.
No.
Okay.
No. They had a high degree of confidence that that lining took very well.
Okay.
Kevin?
I just want to say, you know, the plant's running really well, and I think having, you know, two chiefs in there is really helping out with some of that a little bit. Derek, I know you're doing a great job. Sometimes it's nice to have another horse paired up to the wagon. So kudos to the both of you for working well together, and I think the numbers are proving the point.
Thank you. Item C, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Okay. That would be Kevin and Frank.
Aye.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. We are adjourned at 6:53.